You are about to listen to the Roman Show, the most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Mixed martial arts fans, get ready for the 2012 MMA Awards Show on November 4th at the Miramar Cultural Center, hosted by top comedian RJ, with musical performance by Danger Flow. Log on to FloridaMMAAwards.com to vote for your favorite MMA fighter, best promoter, best knockout, best submission, and more. UFC fighters will be in the house. For more information, call 786-306-1774 or visit the website at FloridaMMAAwards.com.
Hey, this is your host, comedian RJ, for 2012 MMA Awards. You don't want to miss this award show. Go and get your tickets right now. Sunday, November 4th, 2012, at the Miramar Cultural Arts Center. You don't want to miss it.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar John Cena. Keep listening to The Roman Show. If you don't, I'll check the phone book. I'll find you. It'll get weird with these. Weird.
For all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Roman Show on October 17th on this great evening. We started at 9 p.m. today, a little earlier. Joining me on the other side, none other than El Octagono's Camilo Ortiz. How are you, Camilo?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I can't complain. We got a lot of things to talk about here tonight on The Roman Show. But first and foremost, before we discuss some of the topics, obviously the whole Chael Sonnen and John Jones will be coaching the Ultimate Fighter, and they're going to meet in April next year for the title. And some of the comments that the other fighters have to say about this whole fight. But besides that, we'll talk about that a little later. But tonight's guest, ladies and gentlemen, will have Frank Shamrock, who just recently released an tell-all book titled Uncaged, and you can purchase it right now on Amazon.com or IPGBook.com. You can purchase his book there, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter. Frank Shamrock will be joining us a little later today. And also Jessica Penne, who just won the Adam Weight belt over there in Invicta FC Fights. She'll be joining us on the program, Camilo, and I know you had her on El Octagono. But to start off the show, Camilo, we have another MMA veteran who is on the line right now, Josh Berkman, who will be fighting at the World Series of Fighting in November against Gerald Harris, another UFC fighter. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing really well. How are you guys doing?
We can't complain, Josh. Thanks so much for joining us.
Right on.
Josh, will be fighting. My pleasure, Josh. I'll be fighting on NBC Sports. You can catch it live starting at 10:30 p.m. But, Josh, you'll be in the prelims. I'm sure they'll be working around things. I think it's going to be airing at SureDoc.com, if I'm correct.
You can see
your fight.
I don't even know. I didn't even know it was going to be, you know, where else it would be. So, you know, I'm glad to know that now.
I think they mentioned that the prelims, and Camilo, you can help me out. I think the prelims were going to be on SureDoc.com. Obviously, the main card on NBC Sports. And again,
last I knew, me and Harris are on the main card, though. So I'm pretty sure we're on the main one. So
you'll be on NBC Sports then. That's what it is.
Yep, NBC
PM.
Sports, yeah.
Unless
they're lying to me and Harris, you know?
Well, I'm sure you guys will be in the main card for that matter. But, Josh, thanks so much. You know, I had the pleasure of watching your fight last time around, your last fight against Jamie Yeager in Utah. You're fighting in your hometown. And,
right on.
And now you're going to be fighting Jared Harris coming up the first week of November. But I want to talk to you about this fight we had with Yeager because it seemed like you guys had a little beef there between you guys, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I didn't know Jamie Yeager going into the fight, and he didn't really know me. And I think him just coming into my hometown, you know, I think that just kind of had a little built-up to it. And it seems like, you know, Jamie Yeager's a little bit bad guy anyway. He kind of feeds off that. And, you know, I kind of said something to the weigh-ins, like, hey, let's weigh in. He didn't like how I said it to him. And then, you know, at the weigh-ins, he didn't want to shake my hand. And after that, you know, he didn't want to shake my hand, and you know, it kind of fires me up a little bit, and it got a little heated. But that's always good for the fight. I mean, the way I look at it, you know, as soon as I sign a fight with somebody, you know, whether it be 6 weeks out, whether it be 8 weeks out, I mean, for those 8 weeks, they kind of turn into my enemy anyway, whether it's my buddy or whether it's somebody I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that the promo prior to your fight, and he was saying there'll be blood and all of this and all of that, and you're saying some pretty rude stuff there. And like you said, you know, you have to kind of hype up the fight since it is in your home crowd. But boy, let me tell you, what is it about fighting in your own hometown? Is it the extra boost?
Well, man, I mean, in my interview in Blood, man, I think I was super respectful. You know, I don't ever try to, like, you know, badmouth any other fighters. You know, like, that's part of, you know, what my style. You know, I didn't say anything about Blood or talk bad about Yeager.
It was Yeager who said it.
Oh, I was like, yeah, I didn't say none of that.
Yeah,
that just comes with hyping the fights, you know. And for me, fighting in my hometown, you know, I grew up here, and I, you know, I was here fighting when the sport kind of got going, and I played football here and baseball. And you know, after fighting, I want to go into politics, and I'm very active in the community front and in the political field. Wow. And so, I think that, you know, that's just part of me fighting here. Is I have a lot of friends, I have a lot of family, and I have a lot of support. It's kind of like, you know, the Utah Jazz are a professional team, you know, like, it's just, this is kind of like, this is my town, this is where my people are at, so.
That's where you can check out, guys. Again, Josh, he'll be fighting Gerald Harris on November 3rd, live from Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Again, this show will be televised on NBC Sports. Make sure you check him out in action. In fact, last week we had Devin Cole, who will be part of the main event, and he'll be fighting Arlovski. Now, Josh, coming into this fight, your opponent has a 4-fight win streak. He's on a roll.
Right. Yeah.
Does this at any point just, I mean, how do you prepare for this? If this guy's, I'm pretty sure he's just thinking, I'm just thinking victory. There's no way of stopping me here. Does it make the fighter more hungry?
I think, you know, you have to put that into account anytime you're getting ready for a fighter that's on a win streak. Because when you're winning, you're confident. And when you're confident, you know, it shows in your style. And so, you know, I think he's going to come out very confident. And, you know, coming down a weight class, you know, if it did what it did for me, then he's going to have a little more energy. He's going to feel a little bit better. And so I think it's just, you know, being aware of that, being aware of that he's, you know, a very experienced fighter. And, you know, he's really good at what he does. So, you know, I think since I got injured and since I've come back, the level of talent that I've fought against has gotten better and better. And I think that, you know, Harris is right along the lines with that. And I think that I'm better than I've ever been in my career. And I've got to continue to beat guys as they get better and better to prove that. And that's what this fight is, you know, Harris is a little bit of a step up. And so he's on a little bit of a hot streak. So, you know, the winner of this fight, I think, gets put back up into that top tier of the welterweights. You know, people talking about, you know, top 20 fighter, you know, get back in the mix of that kind of a talk. You know, like, how good are these guys again, you know? Because it's for both of us, right. I think it's kind of like a chance to get back, you know, into the top echelon of the weight class.
Correct. And to tell you, Josh Bergman will be fighting on November 3rd against Gerald Harris. He was also a contestant in The Ultimate Fighter. And Fox for the UFC. Camilo, a question for Josh.
Yes, Josh, this is Camilo. I wanted to talk a little bit about your opponent. He is coming over for four victories, but they've all been via decision. His last finish was in July of 2010. How would you interpret that? Would you consider that this guy, he's just a tough guy to put away, that's why his fights go to decision, or is it more that this guy has been struggling to finish fights his last 2 years?
You know, I think that you can read a lot into that. I think in our sport in general now, it's just guys are training harder and guys that are finishing people. I mean, there's something to be said about that, you know. And with Harris, I think that he has that ability to finish guys. I just, you know, sometimes I went through a big phase where I would kept going to decisions too. And I was training for, you know, conditioning and to make it do the 3 5-minute rounds. And sometimes it's just a mindset, and sometimes it's just kind of like grinding out fights. And so, you know, with that, I mean, I'm sure Harris doesn't want to go to decision. I'm sure I don't want to go to a decision. And, you know, I haven't seen all of his recent fights, you know, but what I'm more trying to prepare for with Harris is how do you deal with that guy's strength? Cause you can't stop it, you know? And how do you just kind of like work around that and work through it? And so those are the things that I'm trying to, you know, deal with it, that I don't get held down, that I don't get just put up against the cage, you know, how do we make this fight more exciting? And that's what I'm hoping for this fight, is that it doesn't turn into, you know, a boring fight. I hope that we get out there and we fight and we make it interesting for the fans and for our organization, because this is a big chance for the World Series of Fighting to get our names out there. And the better that we do and the more exciting that we are, the better we're going to represent this organization and the better it's going to do for us, the fans, and everybody, which is what I think the sport needs, you know.
Yeah, and what's been the feeling amongst the other fighters who are under this card? Because, you know, now there's the rumors that Strikeforce is coming to the end. You got Bellator and the UFC, and this organization now is, you know, it has the potential to become the next best, you know, the next best thing out there. Is that the feeling? Is that the hope, I guess, amongst the other fighters?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a chance to sit down with a couple of guys and just chat when we went out to the press conference and stuff. And, you know, I think any time that I have guys at my gym that have been, you know, a guy named, you know, Ramsey, Nyjah, I'm off the Ultimate Fighter, Brock Jardine, and a kid, who else, Steven Seiler. And those guys are all just kind of waiting for fights. Brock Jardine joked around and said that he's in retirement, because he's been waiting for a fight so long, and they're all in the UFC, you know? And it just seems like it's another opportunity for fighters to have a stage to show what they got. And it's on a national stage. And I think, you know, more than anything, you know, we all know that competition is good for the UFC. Nobody's going to beat the UFC. Nobody's going to beat out the UFC. But if you can give fighters another stage to fight on, like the World Series of Fighting is doing, and you have good management and you have good people involved, well, then it just gives us another way to perform our art and feed our families, you know?
Yeah. And you were saying that it's very important for you to go out there and make a fun and exciting fight. So my question to you is, you know, is there something that switches inside your mind? You know, do you flip a switch, or is it just a regular business as usual as you go into the cage to fight?
You know, I mean, I'm pretty laid back, you know, in training and in all that. And I feel like when I do approach the cage and when I do get in there, you know, it's just it's a different kind of a personality. You know, you guys have been in a fight before, right? Once or twice.
Yeah.
You know, you it's that adrenaline rush that you can't quite explain, you know, and that buildup kind of brings out that fighter that you don't get to be all the time. And so it's a little bit of a switch, and, you know, all that 9 weeks of training, you know, that leads up to letting all that out in that moment. And, you know, for this fight, I just had a little boy, you know, 4 days ago. And,
oh, man, congrats.
You know, thanks, yeah, man. And having that little boy, man, has just, you know, now it's like I got my purpose is bigger, you know, and I'm more fulfilled, and it's kind of, it brought something else out. And I'm excited to see what that does for me in my fight game also, you know, because, you know, before I was just a husband, but now I'm a father, and I think that there's going to be, you know, a new level of aggression and strength that kind of comes out of me. And so we'll see, you know, I'm excited about it. And I always try to, you know, put on a show for the fans, you know, even in my training, you know, I make sure that I'm I try to be a little bit dynamic. I don't want to just kind of, I don't ever try to lay on guys and squeak out decisions. You know, I try to make the fights exciting, and that's not going to be any different with Gerald Harris.
And Josh, you mentioned that you're looking into politics. Obviously, this will more than likely be after your fighting career, no? And
right.
Now you plan to do Congress, local municipality?
You know what my plan is I'll go into the county council here in Salt Lake, and when I get into the county council, you know, there's just a lot of, like, old school buildings, and there's a lot of neighborhoods that could use community centers, and in those community centers you could do, you know, martial arts and yoga. And I work with one group right now. It's called the Pete Suazo Boxing Club. And that boxing club basically has about 150 inner-city kids. And after school, they come to the boxing gym. And it's an old elementary. And they return it into a community center. The Salt Lake Police kind of run it. And, you know, they basically, these kids come in. They have to do their homework for an hour. After that, they get a box for 2 hours. Then they get sent in the lunchroom to eat dinner, and they go home at about 8 o'clock. And what I've seen it do for the youth in this area and in Salt Lake is just, it's so empowering, and it's so awesome to give these kids a chance to, you know, a reason to go to school and a chance to box and a chance to do athletics and let out their aggression. You know, so that'll be my plan in county council, and I'll run, you know, be in county council for a little while and try to set that up. And then eventually I want to, you know, continue that, and I'm going to end up running for governor in Utah. But that's like 2024, you know, that's quite a ways away. But fighting is, for me, has always been a stage, you know. It's always been a stage to kind of, you know, show people, you know, what I can do, get involved, build my name, and then use that name and that stage to help out people. And that's, you know, that's where my nickname came from, the People's Warrior. It's kind of always stood. And, you know, now that, you know, I'm coming into these last 3 or 4 or 5 years of my career, you know, I'll start to branch into that other stuff, get my foundation and do my community work. And you know, that's kind of the game plan for after fighting, you know.
Well, I think after this interview, we're going to have to call you from the People's Warrior to Governor Berkman.
I mean, it seemed to be sticking. You know, my last fight, we had 15 rally towels in the crowd, and, you know, they all said, future governor, go Berkman, and now I walk around, and everybody's like, governor, they want to talk politics, see what the debate's going on and stuff like that, and they want to talk about what party and this and that, and it's like, I just, you know, I'm super grassroots, and I just, you know, I care about people, and I think that, you know, if we take care of our families and we take care of our communities, then our states will do better, and, you know, the United States will continue to grow and be, you know, be a powerful nation. And that's,
well,
that's, I want to continue.
And that's great to hear, Josh, because a lot of people think, you know, a fighter is just these animals that just beat each other up. But look at yourself. You're doing something great for the community. And not only that, you're also planning to run for governor one day, and like you mentioned, at the county level. So that's just great on your end. Now, you mentioned about your community service, and you have a foundation. What foundation do you have? A name or a website that people can visit for information?
So right now I work with a lot of the foundations around Utah. You know, before I was working with Darren Williams Foundation, there's a foundation that's fighting for the kids. I work with Primary Children's Hospital. And, you know, my foundation, we're going to set it up here shortly. And it'll be something to do with, you know, fighting for the kids. And we'll throw some golf tournaments and some 5Ks, and we'll do some grappling tournaments. And all that money will go to help this Pete Suazo Community Center and Primary Children's Hospital. And, you know, I just think it's important with all this talk about big business and money and everything, you know, that we don't forget about, you know, our communities and our kids. And with me just becoming a dad, you know, like, it's just, it's even more important to me that I continue to help our community. And like I say, you know, it's not just about, you know, becoming the best fighter I can be, but it's using a platform to help, you know, my community and people around me. And I, you know, I'm not the only fighter. A lot of fighters have done that. I mean, look at Pacquiao. You know, Pacquiao's doing what he's doing, and Chael Sonnen's been in city council in Oregon. Chris Lytle, he's involved, you know, and it's like going back to the days of the, you know, the Warrior Kings, man. It's like nobody trusts these politicians anymore. You know, we don't believe them. you know, and it's like, but people believe, they watch a fight and they believe in fighters. They see what the fighter has. And I think that you're going to see a lot more fighters starting to stand up for people in their communities. And like I say, man, the best soldiers turned into generals, and the best generals turned into leaders and kings. And, you know, I'm not saying it's going that route, but I just think a lot of fighters are going to start stepping up and looking out for people in their areas. And, you know, that's what martial arts is about, man, is just, you know, becoming strong and taking care of the people around you.
All right, Josh, and you can watch Josh Burpin going at it against Gerald Harris November 3rd in Las Vegas. World Series of Fighting 1 will be live on NBC Sports. And live.
So
on
I got a question
Hollywood.
For you guys. What do you guys think about the World Series of Fighting? I mean, you know, you've been following UFC and all these other organizations. You guys pretty excited about it as, you know, announcers and running shows and stuff like that? What are you guys thinking?
Camilo, you first.
Well, I think that they put together a hell of a card for this debut. You know, they got some really good fighters on there, not just, you know, in the main event, but just the whole card is stacked with a lot of talented fighters and exciting fighters. So I think that they're starting off the right way, and the fact that they're on a big network, that's just a plus, you know, and especially with everything that's going on with the UFC, with Bellator, and Strikeforce, you know, rumored to come to its end. I think it's the perfect timing, and this might become one of those organizations that's going to be up there competing with the UFC and Bellator.
Absolutely, I believe that too.
It's great. You know, one day I had a chance to ask Dana White as far as, you know, other organizations, and he said, you know, the more companies out there, the better it is for us. But
right.
as a fan, you know, and you can just take it into business. You know, if you have one guy making burgers and you have three other guys making burgers, now you know they're going to try to have the best burger in town. So
right.
By bringing in another promotion like this, it just makes other companies do. Heck, they did a good card, I'm doing a better card. So as for us fans, we get to get what we want because we get to get good action. Like this fight card itself is just amazing. And fighters that we haven't seen in some time, we're going to finally see them on national TV. So I think it's a win-win
right.
for everyone.
And we
yeah,
can't forget about Invicta FC. You know, the ladies, they're representing mm-hmm. female fighters as well. And Invicta
right.
FC is doing something amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you guys, man. There's a reason that I signed with this organization, you know, and it's the management is awesome. You know, that was part of why I signed with them is because I think that we're going to go good places. And, you know, also, you know, they talked about we're not just about the fighters. Like, we're going to take care of the fans, too, to where you want to try to go to a UFC, you know, in Las Vegas. I mean, that ticket's expensive, right? $1,000, $250, you know, and to where my buddies here in Utah to get a ticket to the fight, it was $40 to, you know, $250. But in this fight in Vegas, you know, they're like, tickets are $20 to $100, you know, and it just
wow.
seems like they're not taking advantage of anybody right now. They're putting on a great show. Fans are going to be happy about the prices, and I promise you they're going to get at least one hell of a fight.
And you guys can see it on November 3rd on NBC Sports. If you're not in Las Vegas, in Nevada, you can see it wherever you are. NBC Sports, you're going to see some fighters you haven't seen in some time, like Josh is going up against Gerald Harris. And by the way, Josh, did you know that Gerald Harris is a comedian?
You know what? When I looked him up when I found out I was fighting him, I saw that he had some comedy stuff, and I thought that was actually, I mean, that's his balance, right? He goes in and fights, and then he balances it out with being funny. So more props to him. Good for him. I think it's always good for, you know, for fighters to have something else going on. So, you know, I mean...
Yeah. We had him on the show, and he tried to do a little skit. He's a funny guy. But I want to ask you something, because your wife is a 2010 international yoga champion.
Yeah, she's a she was a world champion in Bikram yoga. You guys know what Bikram yoga is or no?
Yeah, I practice it myself.
It's no joke, right? Yeah, so she won the world championship in 2010, traveled the world after that, and then I went and got married, and now we had a little boy on the way. So, and she's part of the
wow.
reason that, you know, I'm where I'm at in my career and in my life. My weight's better than ever. She just wants to see me do better. And it's, you know, like I say, I mean, marriage works, you know, and I think that's part of the reason, big part of the reason why I'm going into the best part of my career. And I think I'm going to be able to show that on November 3rd against Harris.
So, Josh, my question is, do you practice yoga, and how often do you do?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's kind of how I stay down, you know, my weight, and I think, you know, staying flexible, and that's what kind of keeps you injury-free. And I do yoga about three times a week, at least three times a week, and I usually do it after I spar or after I lift weights. So she got me doing it about 8 years ago, and ever since she did, I never stopped.
Yeah, it's the best. I can vouch for that. I do it on a personal level. It fixed my back pain.
Yeah, if you go look, it helped my back too. Because what I did is I had a herniated disc in my neck and a couple bulging discs in my back.
Wow.
And that's why, part of the reason that I ended up having to leave the UFC, I took a year and a half off, and yoga was a big part of, you know, me being able to come back and me being able to get healthy and perform at a high level again. Because I didn't know if I would ever get that back. And, you know, yoga helped out a lot, and, you know, my rehab. And, you know, when I stepped back into the cage a couple of years ago, I didn't know how that would go against Brandon Melendez. And, you know, I've been able to get about six fights in there since, and now we got a chance to show on a national level, you know, that we're better than ever.
Absolutely.
I'm excited for
Josh,
that.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Absolutely, Josh. Well, thank you so very much for calling in, man. Anytime you feel free to call in and talk to us. And after your fight, you know, perhaps getting a W there, you could catch him live November 3rd. We'll see you the Fighting One against Gerald Harris. It's going to be live on NBC Sports all over the United States. And if you're in Nevada, you can go ahead and visit and watch it live at Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. Josh, thanks so very much, man, and good luck on your fight November 3rd.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you.
Later.
Bye. All right. There you go, Camilo. There you go. Camilo, have you tried yoga yourself?
You know what? I think I did it once when I had a subscription to a gym over here in Miami, but no. I tried Tai Chi twice, but I think all those things are cool, man. They're not only is good for the body, but it relaxes you mentally.
It does. You know, I've been trying to ask how many fighters do yoga, because I do it on myself. And you know how some guys always think, oh, yoga's for punks and yoga's for girls. I invite anyone to go out there and do an hour and a half a session of yoga.
Listen, man, I used to
not
think...
Not only mentally, but physically. What's that?
Yeah, I used to think the spinning classes was for girls until I tried it. And, man, that is some tough stuff.
It is. I'm not too much of a fan of that, though. I'll tell you why. In fact, I was reading an article on spinning that they said that since you're really just stuck in one place and all you're doing is putting all this weight on your knees, it doesn't turn out to be too well for you, because you're not able to you're, in other words, your body, you're not completely working it out, they say. And it puts a lot of stress on your knees. That is according to a Muslim Fitness magazine that I read. And listen, I'm not a health expert here, but reading this, what it says. Then again, it is pretty tough, especially when you're in this room where there's like no AC whatsoever, and you're suffocating. It is pretty intense, I must say. Especially when they make you go up and down and do all this crazy stuff. And again, I'll stick to my yoga, my lifting weights.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought it was a very tough thing to do, the spinning classes, but it makes sense about the whole knees thing. And at the same time, I mean, if you do one of these classes, you're gonna come out soaking wet. That's why I liked it, because
I was trying
to burn fat.
Yes, sir. It is. All right, Camilo, we'll be right back. Again, we're scheduled to have Frank Shamrock on the show in just a few minutes. We'll be right back after this break, followed by Jessica Penny, who just recently became the Invicta FC fights. Adam Waite, the first champion to be crowned in that company. We'll be right back after this small little break.
Check it out. Keep listening to The Roman Show.
Hey, this is Dana White, the president of the UFC. Keep watching The Roman Show.
Mixed Martial Arts fans, get ready for the 2012 MMA Awards Show on November 4th at the Miramar Cultural Center, hosted by top comedian RJ, with musical performance by Danger Flow. Log on to FloridaMMAAwards.com to vote for your favorite MMA fighter, best promoter, best knockout, best submission, and more.
UFC fighters will be in the house. For more information, call 786-306-1774 or visit the website at FloridaMMAAwards.com.
Hey, this is your host, Comedian RJ, for 2012 MMA Awards. You don't want to miss this award show. Go and get your tickets right now. Sunday, November 4th, 2012 at the Miramar Culture Arts Center. You don't want to miss it.
Visit El Octagono for all the latest in MMA, news, fight results, interviews, live event coverage, podcasts, and video capsules. All this and much more in Spanish. Find all your MMA needs here inside El Octagono, the number one source dedicated 100% to MMA in Spanish. ElOctagono.com.
AllOutMMAGear.com is your best source for MMA gear and apparel. Use code RomanShow and receive 15% off your next purchase. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AllOutMMAGear and on Facebook.com/AllOutMMA for the latest on merchandise and special offers. AllOutMMAGear.com, from Miami to the world.
Hey, this is Jacob Sisteran here. And if you guys really want to listen to the good talk, listen to The Roman Show.
For Florida MMA news and events, there's only one place to get your info from, MMATotheMax.net. From where to see the big fight to where's the next major event can all be found on the Sunshine State's number one source for MMA and grappling events, MMATotheMax.net. Don't click anywhere else and pump up the volume. You're listening to The Roman Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here in the Roman Show. Joining me from Octagono.com, Camilo Ortiz. Camilo, sir, we have a great show so far. Josh Berkman, who just joined us, will be fighting the World Series of Fighting on November 3rd in Las Vegas. And now, Camilo, we have a legend, an MMA legend on the line, Mr. Frank Shamrock, who is going to be talking to us about his autobiography, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter. You can purchase it now on Amazon.com, or you can visit IPGBook.com. How are you, Frank?
I'm really well. How's it going?
We can't complain. Thank you so very much for taking your time and speaking to us. You know, I was reading your some of the excerpts here from the book. I must say, your life is something inspirational. You came from such a tough childhood. And look at you now. You're a successful man.
Yeah. I mean, had it pretty rough. I was awarded a state by the time I was 12 and spent quite a few years with them as my parents. And, yeah, most of my friends didn't make it, so I'm pretty blessed that I did. But I got, you know, martial arts and mixed martial arts to thank for that.
And, you know, Frank, that's just something that a lot of people, a lot of parents actually can vouch how sports can discipline you and change your life, no matter what you're going through, whether it's drugs or violence or whatnot. But you can take that into a positive level and be successful like yourself, Frank.
Yeah, and I didn't grow up with a dad, so sports was kind of the first, you know, structure that supported my community. And then Bob Shamrock, you know, he was my group home dad, and he was the first guy to kind of step up and really be a father to me and eventually adopt me, and I took his name.
And that's just amazing as far as that this gentleman came in and adopted you. And now, but how were you introduced into MMA, Frank? So you can let a little bit as far as what they can expect when they read your book, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter.
Sure. Well, my initiation was, I think, a little different than others. This was back in the day where you did 500 squats, sit-ups, push-ups, and leg lifts, and then you sparred somebody for 20 minutes, and they picked Ken because before I was adopted, you know, I was just the group home kid that, you know, my dad really liked. So we did the initiation the old way. You know, Ken really just beat the crap out of me for 20 minutes. And then after I healed, I was miraculously a professional fighter. And, you know, after that, I didn't leave the gym for 16 years.
16 years nonstop. Currently, do you still work out? Of course, you're done from the fighting game, but do you still work out? And how is your training now, nowadays?
Well, now I'm not much into the impact. I just do basically hiking, and I'll lift weights now and again. But, yeah, I wrecked my spine and neck pretty good from all the fighting, so I got to take it pretty easy.
Wow. Now, Frank, did you compete? Did you, by any chance, they had a, I remember they mentioned all this with you and Ken. You trained together as far as when you were in the MMA. You sparred together. And your relationship with that, and you guys don't speak right now, do you, or not?
Yeah, I mean, no, I guess we never did, if you kind of go back to it and look at it. But you know, he was my first teacher. He's my first mentor. I had never done martial arts training until I walked into, you know, his gym, and he beat me up. And then, you know, I turned pro in 8 months, and, you know, in 15 months I was fighting for the world title, so... It all just happened so fast, and him and I never got close. And then, you know, we were kind of two lions that became champions, and we never worked out the personal thing.
And this is at the Lion's Den, which was a popular place back then when you trained with Frank. And there were other several guys in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, that was the place, you know, there was only a couple places in the world that did this. That's where it all started. I mean, we had Guy Mesger come out of there, and Trey Teligman, and Jerry Bolander. There was a lot of top guys back in the day. And it was just a kind of a lonely dojo behind a stereo shop back in Lodi that no one really knew was there.
And again, guys, we're talking to MMA legend Frank Shamrock, who Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter, is on stores right now. It's on sale. You can purchase it at Amazon.com or IPTBook.com. Camilo, question for Frank.
Yes, hi, Frank. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I wanted to ask you something as far as, like, writing this book is concerned. You know, a lot of people, they think that writing a book is something very, very easily. You know, you just sit there and you just write your thoughts, but it's not that simple. Sometimes you have to tap into certain memories, or it's a long process, and it's tough writing a book. What did you find was the hardest part in writing this book?
The hardest part for me was going on the journey and finding out the information. Because I grew up surviving and kind of, you know, on the cuff and winging it and in and out of jails and stuff. So I never really had a lot of life lessons going for me. And then, you know, when I got wealthy and retired, I mean, it had nothing going on at all but writing this book. And I had to go back and find out all the things that made me crazy and angry and drink too much and, you know, do dumb things and fight like crazy. And that journey is kind of how the book came about. I learned a lot about myself and what made me who I am.
Yeah, a lot of fighters have said that MMA has saved their lives. Do you think that that's a just statement? And is MMA therapeutic or helpful outside the cage?
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, it would totally save my life. And martial arts in general, just the idea, the sort of moral idea and the community, you know, and the need for it to train. And you know, that's what I was missing, was a family and sort of a way. And they gave me that. And, yeah, most people that are out there doing crazy things that are antisocial or against the law, they're missing their family and their community to support them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing that stuff. So there seems to be a common thread amongst fighters. You know, this way of life seems to help people.
And as far as the book, you know, technology nowadays is amazing. Have you... Is the book going to be available, I guess, for people to download, maybe like an application? And have you considered making an audio version of it for the blind fans who can't?
Yeah, it's already on Kindle and all that. And we are going to do an audio version. Actually, moreover, Nalo is going to read it for me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's really neat.
Everything takes time. But we got the book done. It only took 4.5 years.
Wow. Well, Frank, you know, first of all, I'm a writer myself, aside from being a host and so forth. And you know, keeping a journal, you know, when you're writing sometimes, you're kind of, as you're putting it, you know, writing on the paper, you sometimes recollect and these memories, you're like, wow, you know, I went through this. And sometimes you just can't help it. You get emotional. Did you find yourself emotional, maybe even crying while you wrote this thing?
Very emotional. Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff that I learned about myself, my family, and the things that happened to me and our family that were literally life-changing and mind-blowing. And they, you know, it was because me and my partner were trying to figure out, you know, how this story made sense and why it ended this way or why it started this way. And I picked up the phone and made some phone calls. It literally changed my life. I got new family members. It's like crazy.
Did you by any chance keep a journal that helped you out when you wrote this book? Or like you say, you just reach out to folks or family members you didn't even know existed?
For me, it was, you know, my life has been my life. So there's just always been huge blank spots in my life where I think my mind was like, whoa, we better not think about that. So I didn't remember. You know, I don't remember going to school when I was younger. I don't remember, you know, certain parts of my early childhood. I don't remember parts of my, you know, pre-high school era. I think I was drinking a lot then. But I don't remember it. So I had to go back and remember it and remember why I wasn't remembering, and that was the heavy stuff.
Now, Frank, when you say you did drugs, you did alcohol, how much alcohol would you say on one night that you just drank the most, or what type of drugs did you do, and how much of it did you do?
Well, I did a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol because I started really young. I mean, I was drinking when I was 8 years old and smoking weed when I was 8 years old and sniffing gasoline. Yeah, I was sniffing gasoline.
Wow.
I was living in my garage. My dad made me live in the tool shed, and I found there was gasoline there. You can get incredibly baked off of gasoline, not understanding how terrible it was for me, what it was doing to me. But it made me feel better. So I've always struggled with keeping in reality and keeping away from, you know, substance and substance abuse. And when I was fighting, it was the best thing ever. I've always had to be healthy, always had to be focused, always had an adversary or something to compete, you know, someone to compete against. I always had stuff to learn. And that was, you know, instantly helped me with all the drinking and stuff and the drugs because it's like, well, I got to have a clear mind. I got to be healthy. I got to get up early. I got to be, you know, sharp. So it was a wonderful tool to keep me sober. As soon as I retired, I had to learn new tools because fighting had kept me sober for a long time.
Now, Frank, did you go doing cocaine or the worst, even heroin or anything like that? Or,
you know, I tried everything except for sticking stuff in my veins because that always creeped me out. I couldn't imagine poking something in my arm. I don't even like blood taken from me. But pretty much everything else you can imagine, I've tried it.
Well, now, do you find yourself now counseling teenagers that at one point, you know, they do now what you used to do back then and counseling them? And do you suggest these young kids, these youngsters, the MMA fighters up and coming, to read your Uncaged My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter for some advice?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the book to kind of inspire people and to help people and also to, you know, show in a truthful way what, you know, what could happen, what can happen, and what it takes to, you know, get out of it. But I've always spoken at juvenile halls and crisis centers and, you know, the places I stop through, I always go back and speak to those kids. Because, you know, if you can just get to one or two of them, and I have tons of them, to just get a message that they're on the wrong path, you know, a lot of times that's it. You know, they just, I didn't know I was on the wrong path. I thought I was bucking the system and having fun and, you know, working the game and, you know, I didn't realize eventually they're going to lock me up and be like, nope, that's it.
Camilo?
Yeah, Frank, I wanted to know, what is it that you want people to learn from this book? You know, what's the message you want them to learn?
Well, I think that just the message is, you know, whatever your dream is, you should be doing it. And, you know, there's just no reason to give up. And there really isn't. And anything's achievable. And even if you don't achieve it, if you're living a life, it's so much fun while you're trying to achieve it that you'll never even notice you don't achieve it. You know, it's, if you're living a good life and you've got a, you know, big, you know, healthy goal or dream, all of it is good. You know, and I didn't have that. I didn't, you know, I was trying to, you know, get the next paycheck and the next, you know, robbery done and the next car stolen, and, you know, I was completely messed up and had no connection or values to, you know, the society.
And now that I've seen you a couple of interviews promoting the book and talking about different things, one of the things that you're very I guess outspoken about is fighters and retiring and having a plan. when do you think an MMA fighter should retire? You said that you retired yourself because your body wasn't, you know, responding correctly, and it was kind of like telling you, okay, it's time to move on. When do you think an MMA fighter should retire?
I mean, it's their own decision, but if you're in this game for your lifespan, you know, you're building a brand that lasts a lifetime, you know, that has to be at a strategic point, because if you go too long, you're going to get hurt, you're going to lose brand value, you're going to get beat up. You know, it's got to be at the right time, and you got to be ready too. But, you know, for me, it was I couldn't do it. I couldn't, you know, I pulled up next to the Ferraris, and they took off without me. And I was like, oh, dude, you know, I couldn't do it. So I just knew that was my time, and I could have kept going, but it would have been a disservice to me and my brand and my family and the other clients I have for, you know, Frank Shamrock and his journey.
And guys, we're talking to Frank Shamrock. Go ahead and purchase the book, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter, ipgbook.com, amazon.com, and it's available now on Kindle, as stated, and on iTunes as well, Frank?
I think so. It's available everywhere. I got a good publisher, and I'm doing book signings everywhere, and, I've met just so many people and had such a good time in the past couple months.
Right, you've been signing some books. In fact, you were scheduled, and we're only going to talk some fighting. You were scheduled to do a book signing over there during the whole Strikeforce event that didn't ever really happen. But now, are you, by any chance, you're going to come down here to Florida anytime soon?
I'll come to Florida, but it's next year, like half.
Next year?
Yeah, half of next year, because I got back surgery in December. And then I'm booked all the way until May. So I'm looking at that area.
Is there a website where folks can keep up to date as far as a calendar where they can go and find out where you're going to be, your next stop will be?
Yeah, pretty much everything's on my Facebook page, Frank Shamrock, and that's kind of my base. And we're making a lot of noise. I'm also teaching when I go into some of these places with self-defense and doing some community service stuff, because I think it's important.
Will you be doing something down here in South Florida?
Yeah. I think so. I don't know about self-defense stuff. I don't know who I have down there for self-defense stuff, but I've been doing, like, close quarter self-defense, because we're in bookstores. So I'm like, yeah, what do we got here? You know, bookstore, table, chair. How do we defend against it? So I've been doing that kind of vibe.
Okay, feed us out of the know, and we'll put out the word here, since we are based in Miami, as far as your appearance. Folks can check you out and meet you in person and sign up. I'll make sure to message and let everyone know. Now, Frank, let's talk about some fighting. Strikeforce, as we know, nobody really knows what's going on with Strikeforce. You work with Strikeforce. You do commentating out there with Mauro Ranallo, and you're part of the broadcast team. What's going on with Strikeforce? Do you know anything, what's going to happen? Is an event going to happen in January?
Honestly, I don't know. I haven't been told anything. You know, my job right now is I work for Showtime as a commentator. And I don't know anything. I mean, my gut, being a businessman, is, you know, it doesn't look good. You know, it doesn't look like it's got any longevity. There certainly doesn't seem to be a backup plan to, you know, fix it up or do anything to, you know, satisfy Showtime or, you know, put it back into the A caliber that it once was. So I don't know. I think it's old and it's going away.
Someone had mentioned to me, and there was an article there, that if Showtime were to just be non-existent, there were talks of putting another promotion that Showtime will pick up. One of them being, and I'm not sure if you've heard of the company, XFC, which started off in Florida. Do you think a company like that would fit around, and would you, since you do work for Showtime, think it would be a good fit? Or another company you think would be a good fit if the Strikeforce thing pretty much is done?
I don't know. I don't know who would be a good fit. You know, I don't know all the promotions out there, but I know what Showtime's looking for. You know, they want something, exclusive. They're a premium channel. You know, you got to pay to actually watch it, you know, so they're used to delivering high excitement, premium content. So they're looking for something that represents that. And I don't know what that is. You know? I'm hoping I still got a job, you know, come next year when it comes to that. But I believe that Showtime believes in MMA because we've delivered, you know, great ratings for them. We've developed a lot of stars. and we've, you know, put, you know, they took a risk on MMA, and we've delivered for their network.
So, Camilo?
Well, I just, you know, want to thank you for taking time to talk to us. I think this book is going to do a lot of good, especially for fighters who are, you know, already, you know, in the spotlight and for up-and-comers. One of the things that I've always believed in that part of the fight is also emotionally, mentally, and physically. And I believe that this book is going to help a lot of people out.
I sure hope so.
Absolutely. And Frank, I have a question here from a fan, Marcos Albino, who asked, if you were at your prime, if you were still fighting, how would you fare up against a guy like John Jones?
I don't know. I'd hope that I would beat him down, but who knows? He's like 2 feet taller than me and much, much larger than me. So who knows? I did wrestle with him at 3 a.m. in a hotel room, though.
Would that, you wrestled
with
wrestle him at
3 a.m.? At 3 a.m. In a hotel room for about 30 seconds. And then I was like, wait, this doesn't make a lot of sense. But yeah, I just, you know, the athlete has developed and changed. And, you know, I was that first guy back in the day, and they just, they've gone way beyond me.
Camilo, you're going to say something?
No, I'm here. I'm listening, enjoying the conversation.
And Frank, again, you can check out Frank's book, Uncaged My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter, available on ipgbook.com, amazon.com, iTunes. He's pretty much everywhere, Frank. Now, Frank, aside from your commentating and your book, you're very active in the community world. I know Mauro Ranallo has a podcast. You participate in that one as well? I believe it's called the MMA Hour?
Yeah, I hang out with Mauro once in a while. He runs a pretty crazy show, and I do a lot of charity work with the American Cancer Society, and I have an anti-bully program that we do in schools here. And I spend a lot of time with my daughter and my wife now, time that before I spent in the gym and traveling around, so it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and the bullying is something that has affected the entire nation, being that this month is actually the anti-bullying month, so that's very important. And we're very supportive here in the program of that. Now, Frank, you do have descendants of Hispanic, no?
What's that?
You're descendants of Mexican?
Yes. Yeah, my father is Mexican and Indian.
Now, do you see yourself, do you speak Spanish yourself, or?
I do not speak Spanish. I didn't know I was.
Not whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't know I was Mexican until I was about 11 when I was in juvenile hall.
Wow. Have you visited Mexico at any time?
Yeah, I've been to Mexico quite a few times, and I love the people. I think, you know, Latin people and the hot blood and the passion, I think I share a lot of that, and, you know, it's nice.
You think that one day MMA will be as big as boxing one day as it is in Mexico or in the Caribbean or South America or Latin America?
I don't know. It could be. You know, it could be. I think it's got to be, you know, protected and taken care of for it to last that long. But I think it could be. You know, it's a martial art.
Of course. And Frank Shamrock, you could purchase a book right now, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter, ipgbook.com, iTunes, amazon.com. Frank, if you could just do me a quick little favor before we go, if you could just give us a plug. You know, this is Frank Shamrock. Keep listening to The Roman Show, and whenever you're ready.
Sure. This is Frank Shamrock, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
Frank, thank you so very much. Pick up the book, Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter. A pleasure, sir. A pleasure to speak to a legend like yourself.
Right on. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye. Great talk there with Frank Shamrock, Camilo. Amazing story. Did you believe the guy went through such a tumultuous childhood, and he became the person that he is today? He's a legend. He's a successful businessman. You know, it just proves to you that when blank hits the ceiling, you know, things could turn around if you keep a positive mind and find something that just makes you stay away from those bad things around you.
Yeah, man, and I've always said it, that these MMA fighters and personalities, they have a great story. I mean, most of them have interesting stories, you know, and how they ended up getting involved with MMA. And Frank is just, you know, proof that it doesn't matter, you know, what's happened in your life. It's, you can always change your, you know, your future, your destiny. You can make something out of your life that's positive. And, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah, Gustav, just amazing, man. The guy said he was just doing everything that you could imagine. Smoked marijuana at the age of 8 years old. And, wow, that's just insane. And you know what? What's shocking is that after so much years or a certain period of time in his life that he dealt with drugs, his body was able to overcome that and put him in such a rigorous workout that he has when he was a fighter. So it's just amazing how his body was able to just automatically just say, boom, I'm ready to go. I'm kicking out all of that stuff, and obviously physically, but mentally, it's super tough to overcome such a thing. So there you go, guys. If you ever find yourself in a position where, you know, you're being sucked in by alcohol, by drugs, or by anything, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, and you could read it from Frank Shamrock himself, an MMA legend. Uncaged, My Life as a Champion MMA Fighter, available now on iTunes, Amazon.com, IPGBook.com. Great, great interview there, Camilo, from Frank Shamrock. And coming up next, we have Jessica Penny, who won the Adam Waite title at Invicta FC 3. And you had her on the show yourself, Camilo, but we'll talk to her here a little bit as far as her experience at that event. Which she defeated a very high-rated fighter, Naoso Uyama, and the 105-pound champion there, Adam Waite fighter, the new Adam Waite fighter for champion of Invicta FC, Jessica Penny. Camilo, before we move on to a quick little break, I want to talk briefly about this whole Chael Sonnen and John Jones. It was just released. John Jones and Chael Sonnen will be fighting in April for the title. So a lot of fighters are talking, one of them being Dan Henderson. And Camilo, he said, I guess I should just quit training to win fights and to be exciting for the fans and just go to blank talking school. He tweeted, he's a little pissed off. Rashad Evans is okay with it. He's cool. Lyoto Machida wasn't a happy camper. What's going on here? I mean, did the UFC do a favor to the fans because that's what they wanted? Or are they using this because it's a good marketing scheme to get people to go and watch this fight? Personally, I want to see it. What's going on here, Camilo?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different factors going on, and I think Dana White explained it the best today in the phone conference call that they had about it with John Jones and Chael Sonnen online. And Dana said, listen, yes, Dan Henderson is hurt. He couldn't fight. He's still hurt. I don't know when he's going to be able to come back. I don't even know if he's going to be able to do the Ultimate Fighter. We have to make, you know, we have to pull the trigger in certain decisions. The guys who are complaining that, oh, how come Chael Sonnen, you know, is getting the title shot, this and that, those were the same fighters who turned down the opportunity when Dana White called them up to fight John Jones at UFC 151. So, you know, Chael Sonnen was the only one who stepped up, who was willing to take the fight in 8 days' notice. So that was the logic behind that, you know. And as far as ratings, Dana White says, you know, whatever. I mean, if people think that this is going to be something that's going to bring in, you know, like amazing ratings, then cool. But, you know, apparently he's not thinking about that. He was just thinking about the fact that John Jones, he's not going to be able to fight. You know, his elbow still hurt from his fight with Vitor Belfort, so he's going to be able to be back in action in April, right? So
in April, yep.
So now they decided to do this thing, and I don't know. I mean, Chael Sonnen, regardless, he's an entertaining guy. He knows how to sell a fight. He's funny. He, some people might call him a bully or somebody who harasses, you know, other opponents and disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. The point is that Chael Sonnen, he backs up what he says. He always shows up. He steps up. And John Jones is changing the way he thinks because he's saying, you know what, this is a fight that the fans wanna see. And Dana White has always, you know, expressed himself saying, we want to put the fights that the fans want to see. So it's cool to see that John Jones is kind of maturing a little bit more, saying, you know what, I know I can beat this guy, so why not fight him? Yeah, he doesn't deserve a shot, but why not take this opportunity? You know, it's the Ultimate Fighter 17, and it's going to be a hell of an opportunity, you know? I mean, John Jones, he was the first fighter to be sponsored by the UFC with his clothing apparel. He got the Nike deal. Now he's getting the Ultimate Fighter thing. And Chael Sonnen, you know, he's just laughing all the way because, you know, talking trash has worked for him.
Got it. He got it. Yeah. And now it's important to note that the Ultimate Fighter will not be aired on Friday after the season. They're talking about maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. It hasn't been confirmed yet. But, yes, the Ultimate Fighter will be changing dates. And, you know, the FX representative stated, and I saw this, so just unique, and during that conference call, someone asked them, and he said, Spike better watch their ass. That is what he said. Did you have to catch that? Because Bellator and Sky and Spike are going to have their own reality show. So don't be surprised if they're just going to be going head-to-head. And this all happened because Spike was running UFC past shows on Spike while The Ultimate Fighter was going on, which kind of confused the viewer. So FX and the UFC is a little ticked off at that. So they're going to be going head-to-head. And you know what happened? When that happens, that only means good quality shows, Camilo, for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a win-win situation for the fans, you know? And I wanted to ask Chael Sonnen, I didn't get the opportunity to ask him any questions today in the phone conference, but I wanted to see if maybe he was going to take this opportunity of being on the Ultimate Fighter. It's a hell of an opportunity. You know, you're going to be on TV, you're going to be able to coach these, you know, young fighters who are trying to become the next big thing. I wanted to know if maybe he was going to take advantage of this opportunity and show a different side of himself. Because everybody who's ever met Chael Sonnen in person, you know, outside of what's the interviews and I guess this image of a bad guy he has, in person he's really a really nice guy. So I wanted to see if maybe he was going to use this opportunity to show that, yeah, okay, I talk trash, but I back it up, and I'm not a bad person. I might be, you know, a bad guy as a character, but he's really not a bad human being.
He's like a very cool guy, and he's very funny. What did he told John Jones today? I know he has the belt, but I could take it whenever I want. I could take it right now if I want.
And then he said, it's funny. It's funny that John Jones has a good sense of humor, too, because he kept on laughing a couple of times. And he even kind of threw a low blow bringing up the TRT subject.
Yeah. He also made a comment to professional wrestling. He said, you know, hey, take a look. And I'm paraphrasing. Something, take a look, one more for the bad guy or something like that, which was used by former wrestler Razor Ramon, real name Scott Hall. And if you follow pro wrestling or heck, if you watch ESPN, you know who I'm talking about. He came out on the 30-30 episode. It was the guy who was dealing with drugs after wrestling and so forth. So he used the car for that. So yeah, Chael Sonnen just always a character. And I know a lot of people are going to be looking forward to the fight, whether you like it or not. I think the odd or the betting line is like 600 or something, like minus 600 to John Jones. Not too well known with all that number game, but John Jones is a big, 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 huge time favorite.
Yeah, and as a result of this change, you know, Forrest Griffin was supposed to be fighting Chael Sonnen at UFC 155 at the end of the year, and now it's being rumored that possibly we're going to see the Stephen Bonner against Forrest Griffin fight in the UFC 155. It hasn't been confirmed, but that's a hell of a fight right there. When those two always meet, it's exciting.
Part three, and it could be retirement for either one or for both. We don't know, but it'll be kind of nice to see if it is the end, to end it this way, because, heck, that fight on Spike TV and the Ultimate Fighter finale is what pretty much will put UFC and MMA, I would say, on a national spotlight, because everyone just remembers that bloody fight. It was just nonstop, two guys going at it. Well, Camilo, huh? Go ahead.
I was just going to get your opinion on the Stephen Bonner and Anderson Silva fight. We haven't even mentioned that that happened over the weekend.
Man, amazing. You know, it just, you know, we spoke about it live on Google Plus, Google Hangout, and people were able to see us there live and in person. We spoke in Spanish. But it's just quite amazing. Number one, kudos to Stephen Bonner. He stepped up to the plate. Number two, Anderson Silva, he's just a beast. It's just amazing how he makes this thing. He makes it look so easy. There was a point that I guess the corner told something to Anderson Silva. He had him in the clinch. He looked over at the corner. He's kind of like, I got this. Don't worry about it. And he just finished him off. He literally makes it look so easy. How he just destroys his opponents. It's just incredible. I mean, this guy, you know, I think it was Goldberg who called him the Muhammad Ali of MMA. I think it's a proper fit for Anderson Silva.
Yeah, and Stephen Bonner now came out saying that, listen, you know, he's kind of in awe with the talent that Anderson Silva has. He says that he has never felt anything like that knee. He was like, explaining how he couldn't breathe. He was gasping for air, and he felt like he was trying to breathe for the longest time. And then when he saw the actual fight, he was like, oh, that was quick. It felt like it was so much longer. And he's a bit of, you know, Stephen Bonner always wants to put on a show. So he said he was a little bit sad that he couldn't do a better job. But regardless, he was very thankful that, you know, that he was part of that fight and that they gave him that opportunity.
That's right. And speaking about champions, we're going to have the first Invicta FC champion on the line right now, Jessica Penny. How are you, Jess? Welcome to the Roman Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure, Jess. You're on with Camilo Ortiz and myself, Rodolfo Roman. Congratulations, first and foremost. You defeated on October 6th in Invicta FC 3. You became the number one ranked atom weight fighter, and you are now the champion, the first champion out of that promotion. You defeated Naho Sukiyami. First and foremost, how has it been? How have you celebrated since you now have gold around your waist?
I really didn't do much celebrating. I mean, after the fights, I went out with my coaches and my teammates and some friends over in the area. We went out to dinner and had to get up early for a flight the next day and took a day off, and now I'm back in the gym training because I'm competing the first week of November. So just I'm enjoying it, but I'm back to work.
Now, you're competing in the first week of November. Are you defending the title, or are you competing in somewhere else?
No, I'm competing at the IBJJF Nogi World.
Gotcha. Wow. So a fighter never has a break. She continues no matter what, despite even wearing the bell around your waist.
No, I think, I don't know, I think if you stop learning, you won't do well. So I just always want to learn. I always want to improve, and I still have a lot to learn.
Now, Jess, becoming the first champion of this company, what has been the response from the people? I'm sure you've had a lot of press time. How are you feeling with that? And are you, since you being the first champion of the company, you kind of somewhat become the face of the company.
I don't know about the face, but, you know, Invicta has a lot of talent, a lot of really hardworking ladies fighting for them. So I don't think this organization will have just, you know, one face. I think they'll have several faces, and I know that they're going to have another title bout on their next card. And hopefully I'll be a part of that part. I know that they're wanting to put belts on each weight class, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. I'm feeding Naho Sukiyami in the second round via triangle choke. Was it the fight plan from the get-go to defeat her, or did you just see the right spot to land in this submission?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Fighting Naho Sukiyami, was this the plan for you? Were you going for the submission, or you just saw the opportunity to land his triangle choke, or did you wanted to finish it off with a TKO or a knockout?
I mean, I look to finish the fight. I have a lot of finishes on my record, and I don't like going through decision. I don't like leaving my fate in the hands of other people, and those other people could possibly make bad decisions. So I don't want there to be any doubt, you know, whether I win the fight or not. I didn't know much about her coming in. I just knew she had an impressive record and a lot of finishes, and really didn't see too much footage on her So I was just preparing for anything, and wherever the fight went, I was, you know, prepared to go there. And the first round, I did a lot of, you know, feeling out, since I really didn't know what to expect. And then the second round, I felt comfortable standing, I felt comfortable on the ground, and I saw an opening and really comfortable on the ground. So I just went for it, and I was successful.
Camilo.
Hey, Jessica, this is Camilo. I had the opportunity to talk to you on Sunday while you were getting your nails done. How did that go? Did we mess it up?
No. I got the East Coast, West Coast time mixed up, so I was hoping to get that out of the way before, but I misjudged the time.
Oh, well, I appreciate you always taking time to talk to us. And one of the things that I got from our chat on Sunday was that you're kind of happy, or you are happy, that you have a target now, being the champ, and that you're going to welcome any new challenge. And you didn't really have any fighter in mind, but what do you feel like it would be, I guess, a good opponent for your first title defense? You know, obviously you're going to want to try to get the best challenges possible.
Absolutely. I mean, I am really happy that I have a target on my back, because I've spent a lot of years training and very disciplined and dedicated, and I really want to compete consistently, and, you know, one or two fights a year just really doesn't cut it for me. So I want to fight as much as possible. I want to compete as much as possible. So whether it's MMA, Jiu-Jitsu, or, you know, what have you, I'll do it just to improve and just to stay sharp. I really don't know what they have in mind for my first title defense, but I welcome any and all challenges. I think there are some, you know, top five girls in the rankings that would be great. I don't know if they want to fly another person in or if they're going to go for a local girl. I really don't know what they have planned, but, you know, I'm game for it.
Well, now you became the champ, and it's close to the end of 2012. A lot of people criticize a lot of champions because they'll only fight, you know, once or twice per year, and you've already expressed how you want to stay active and fight as much as possible. For you, in 2013, what would be the ideal title defense number? You know, like, are you thinking about maybe 3, 4, 5 fights in 2013?
No, I think 3 or 4 is... it's a good number, depending on how many shows the organization has. Hopefully they'll keep, you know, all the ladies on that side for Invicta really busy, which would be absolutely amazing if that could happen for everybody. So I'm positive and optimistic that, you know, I'll get a couple title defenses.
And Jess, I'd like to get your opinion, because there was a one of the promoters up in Canada of Maximum Fighting Championship. He was asked about what his opinion on women's MMA. He says he's all for it. He loves women's MMA. He respects the hard work that you ladies put up out there. But he says that as far as having women's MMA in his promotion, it just wasn't going to work out because there isn't enough talent pool. Do you agree with that, or do you see now, because of Invicta FC, because of Strikeforce, Bellator, we're seeing more ladies compete, train, and getting ready to be a professional anytime soon?
I think that with Invicta, they have shown a lot of depth in the different weight classes, whereas a lot of the other organizations, like College One, Strikeforce, only really focus on one or two weight classes, and so what everybody's seeing is, you know, only one or two weight classes. But Invicta is showing that there are a lot more weight classes. There are girls all around the world that are training hard, and it's a really good time to be involved in women's MMA, and it's getting a lot more attention and mainstream attention. So I think that, you know, them saying that, maybe they're just not interested in having more than one or two women's bouts on their cards, you know, however many times a year that they have a fight. But there are a lot more women competitors, and there are a lot more higher-level competitors. So I just think that they're really not interested in the growth of women's MMA sport like Invicta is.
And what do you think will get ladies to get interested in fighting? What do you think is something that could? What do you think is something that can motivate women to, instead of playing soccer or basketball or anything like that, have them enrolled into MMA?
I
what do you think is needed, or could you ladies yourselves set an example to motivate some of the ladies to get into the sport?
I mean, the sport's definitely not for everybody, but it is a very competitive sport, and, you know, there's a lot more opportunities out there. So I think that if girls that have been active in sports previously, you know, they find themselves in the gym and trying it out, I think they'll like to hunt. It's just getting more awareness out about it and showing women that there are more opportunities in sport, and I think a lot more women will get involved in it.
Gotcha, Camilo.
Yeah, I know that you don't like to, I guess, call out any fighters or anything like that, and you're ready to fight anybody. But the only loss in your record was against Soyla Gergo, who's, you know, obviously she fights with Bellator. How much would you love to be able to have her come into Invicta and, I guess, you know, kind of erase that one loss and just have that rematch?
I'm honestly, like, I'm really tired of people asking me about that. It was 2 years ago. Like, ask me about something else. She fights in a different weight class. I fight in a different weight class. Like, I doubt it's going to happen. I've moved on from it. I've learned from it. It's not a loss in my book. I've improved a lot since that fight. So it's really not relevant, and I'm quite frankly tired of hearing it being brought up.
All right, and as a fighter right now, how do you see that there's I guess certain things in your training or in your game that you feel that maybe you still have to sharpen up a bit?
Absolutely, I need to improve in all aspects of my game. Like you said, if you're not evolving, you're going to get left behind. And I just, you know, want a beautiful, shiny, sparkly belt. So I'm going to do everything I can to keep it around my waist, and I'm going to keep improving on every aspect of it.
Absolutely. Well, Jess, thank you so very much for taking your time and speaking to us. Congratulations on your victory and earning that gold. And I would love to have you here in the show when you defend it for the first time. And Jess, can folks follow you on Twitter? What's your Twitter account so folks can follow up with you?
It's my first last name, Jessica Penny.
Wonderful. You can follow the guys at Jessica Penny, the Invicta FC Atom Weight Champion. Thank you so very much for joining us in the program. And again, congratulations, Jess.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night. Thank you. Bye. Well, there you go, Camilo. From a legend to a champion and even a politician. We've had them all here on the Roman Show, as we have Josh Berkman on the program, Frank Shamrock, and Jessica Penny, who joined us here, the new champion of Invicta FC, the first champion to be crowned in that company. Camilo, before we talk a little bit about what's happening in the world of MMA, let's go to a quick break, and we'll be back with our segment, Out the Cage. We'll be right back.
Mixed Martial Arts fans, get ready for the 2012 MMA Awards Show on November 4th at the Miramar Cultural Center, hosted by top comedian RJ, with musical performance by Danger Flow. Log on to FloridaMMAAwards.com to vote for your favorite MMA fighter, best promoter, best knockout, best submission, and more. UFC fighters will be in the house. For more information, call 786-306-1774 or visit the website at FloridaMMAAwards.com.
Hey, this is your host, Comedian RJ, for 2012 MMA Awards. You don't want to miss this award show. Go and get your tickets right now. Sunday, November 4th, 2012, at the Miramar Culture Arts Center. You don't want to miss it.
Check out the latest news and the coolest interviews on The Roman Show every Tuesday and Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit us on RodolphoRoman.com or check us out on Twitter at RomanDH. Check out The Roman Show on Facebook. Visit Facebook.com/TheRomanShow. Like us and make sure you spread out the word about the coolest and hippest radio program on the internet to date. Check it out, facebook.com/TheRomanShow.
This is Out the Cage
Unleash the Beast.
All right, Camilo, what you got for us this week?
All right, man. You ever play that game, Clue, or Guess Who?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I did something, put together a little bit, something like that, but an MMA version of it. And I want to see, I want to test your data bank, as you would say.
All right.
So I'm gonna
see if my memory is working.
All right, so I want to see if you can guess who I'm talking about. Here's the first clue. I'm a UFC fighter who has 19 fights with the UFC, which soon will become 20 fights. Any idea who I'm talking about?
Soon going to have a fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he is 19 going out for his 20th.
Yes, yes. You want another clue, or you want to try to take a crack?
Give me another clue. Give me another clue. Give me another clue.
All right. My record is 29-6-1. I fight both in middle and light heavyweight.
Franklin?
Who?
Rich Franklin?
Yeah, that's it, man. I think I made it too easy right there.
yeah, I got it. All right.
Yeah, it's Rich Franklin. You know, his fight's going to be coming up against Kung Lee. And UFC, what's being called UFC Macau. This fight's going to, this event's going to be in November 10th, 2012. And Kung Lee, you know, himself, he's also participating in this new mixed martial arts movie coming out, The Man with Iron Fist. Have you had a chance to check that out?
I have not, but I've heard about it. You know, he's a very talented man, not only a mixed martial artist, but he is an actor as well. How about putting him together against, what's his name? The guy that did the Muay Thai movie. Just keep it. Ombak? Ombak guy?
Oh, yeah. That would be a hell of a fight right there. That movie that's going to come out is being produced by RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. And the movie looks really good. It's got Russell Crowe in it. It's got what's this girl? She's half Korean, half American. Something Lu. I forget her name.
Lucy Liu?
Lucy Liu. There we go. It's got Lucy Liu. It's got a bunch of... It looks really good, man.
The RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan. All right. That Camino, we're talking a little about... music now, man.
Yeah. And it's I like those type of movies,
actually produced the soundtrack of Kill Bill, and I know he's been dying to do a movie, a direct one. I'm sure he learned a thing or two from Quentin Tarantino.
Well, Quentin Tarantino's going to be involved in this apparently, Riz is also going to be playing the man with the Iron Fist, and it looks really cool, man. It looks awesome. But anyways,
when did it come out?
To be honest, let me see if I can look it up. But it should be coming out soon.
Sweet. All right, what you got for us next?
Well, I wanted to do that with the clue. I didn't think you were gonna guess it that quick. I underestimated you.
Well, there you go, man. I can beat you to it, man. I can beat you to it, Camilo.
I'm gonna come with a couple of more characters. I thought it was gonna take you a little bit longer. I had a bunch of different hints, but maybe I made it too easy, or maybe you were just that good.
There you go. That's been Out the Cage for this week. And guys, remember to follow the action at RomanDH on Twitter, RodolphRoman.com, the website, to follow up some past interviews. Also, para esos que hablan en español, eloctagono.com, darse cuenta de lo que está pasando en el mundo de las artes marciales mixtas. Todo en español, no se pierdan nada. Again, we're bilingual here, man. We're getting ready for the whole bilingual thing. You know, everybody's just talking about the bilingual. I think we're going to have to make it trilingual, since in MMA a lot of people speak Portuguese. So it's just a matter of time till we start saying a couple of words in Portuguese.
Well, I've been trying to learn, but it's tough when you don't have anybody to practice it with.
Tell me about it. Mine is obrigado, un, dos, tres. That's pretty much it.
Anyway, let's talk to the news here. Now, free agent, man, Eddie Alvarez. It's become almost like baseball, an NFL free agent. Eddie Alvarez probably has possibly seen the last knockout in Bellator, as Eddie Alvarez is a free agent. However, he is going to sit down with Viacom and Bjorn Rebbe to discuss a future contract, a future possible contract. Again, he hasn't decided yet if he is going to go to the UFC, although Dana White, UFC president, has said that, yes, he does want Eddie Alvarez. It's something that we've been eyeing. But before anything happens, he's going to sit down because he feels it's only fair since Bjorn, Bellator, and Viacom has fed Eddie Alvarez. Camille, do you think we're going to see this guy in UFC? He's very humbled. He's not, you know, he's not saying, you know, I'm gone, I'm out. UFC has been my thing.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people want to see Eddie Alvarez in the UFC. But like you said, Eddie, he's a very humble guy. He's very loyal. And he said that he wants to sit down. And obviously, Bellator, legally, they have first dibs. You know, they are going to be able to offer him something. And whether he likes it or not, it's totally up to him. But Dana White has said that, listen, we want him, we will get him. And, you know, that's the same story when Hector Lombard was in the same situation as Eddie Alvarez.
Pretty much same situation. Now, after spending 12 days in jail in both Minnesota and Iowa, Jeremy Stephen has been freed from incarceration. Stephen's management team today released a statement on matter. Now, there's an article, MMAJunkie.com, confirmed with Polk County jail officials that the lightweight is no longer in custody. Jeremy's legal team is already hard at work to prove what many already know. He is not guilty of the crimes he's been accused of. He was arrested earlier this month in Minneapolis on a warrant for willful injury and assault causing bodily injury. The alleged incident took place in Des Moines, Iowa on October 15, according to a police report obtained by MMAJunkie.com. The alleged assault took place late at night outside of Fat Tony's bar in Des Moines. The wife of the victim says Stevens punched him after he was removed from the bar. The victim then leaned against the building and was punched in the head and face by Stevens' associate, Dustin Bachman, the report said. Now, during this all thing happened here, Dana White was trying to get Stevens out so he could fight that night. Now, that would have been crazy, Camilo. You know what it is? You've been locked up. They get you out, and then you got to go fight.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, unfortunately, he didn't get to fight. There was talks about some conspiracy because, you know, the cops came and took him away the last minute, the day of the fight, and then he was in Vegas, and then I guess it was Iowa who was trying to like extradite him back, you know, to that state, and it was a whole mess. But Dana White came out and expressed that they were just trying to get him out. You know, they had the UFC got a lawyer. They were trying to bail him out, let him fight, and then obviously he was going to have to face the consequences. It's not that he was going to, you know, move on with the rest of his life and never face whatever charges it is that he's being accused of. But, yeah, unfortunately, you know, he never got to fight, and his opponent stayed waiting the whole night, hoping that he might show up to fight.
Wow. Tough situation. All right, Camilo, from now, what's happened over there, we're going out to the West Coast as it's time for Jonathan King's West Side Report. How are you, Jonathan?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How are you guys doing?
Okay, good play, Jonathan King of the Clinch Report. Jonathan, what you got us as far as over there, what's happening in the West Side, sir?
We got a bunch of events coming up, actually. October 19th, which is, I believe, 2 days from now. Right in my backyard, Culver City, California, we got Samurai 4, which is a good martial arts promotion, very small. It's taking place at Veterans Memorial Auditorium. Two good headlining matches, Christos Giagos against Joe Lewis and Chris Sanders against Tiago Men. Should be a very good promotion. It's got a lot of heat, this Samurai promotion out here. They have a history of putting on exciting fights. Then after that, in Redding, California, on the 20th, we have Rogue Fights, which is featuring a heavyweight bout between Bill Wilder and Josh McPherson. And also a big 145 about Chuck Fordyce versus Caleb Patton. Should be a good fight as well. Don't know much about rogue fights. I'm still learning a little bit about them, but they seem to have a good small following in the Northern California area. Then on the 25th, this is one I'm really excited about. This is the King of the Cage show. It's called The Gun Show is the title for this one. Got three great fights that I'm looking forward to. Jason Ireland versus Daniel Hernandez at 185. We got Brandon Hunt versus Johnny Cisneros at 185. Well, I don't know if you guys have heard of Johnny Cisneros yet, the Tattooed Terror, but this guy is something else. He's a brawler. He's definitely going to be in one of the bigger shows soon. And I'm really high on this kid. He's going to be a great fighter. Then we also have Tony Lopez, who you guys know. He used to fight in Fight Time. He's now fighting. He's fighting at 205 now, if you can believe that. This guy fights at every weight class there is. He's fighting Nick Roseborough at 205. I believe this is for a strap, or it's for a number one contender spot for the King of the Cage strap. Then after that, the last one that we have coming up is Dragon House. Is got a fight coming up as well. Pretty excited about this one. Their headlining bout is Jesse Taylor versus Mauricio Alonso. I'm sure you guys remember Jesse Taylor from The Ultimate Fighter. He has a record that it reads like a win-loss record of some of the greatest fighters you see, and then he loses against a guy you never heard of before. So he's trying to get his career back on track. He's got wins in his history against Drew Fickett, Dennis Kang, Jason Day, Chris Camozzi. He's a he's definitely a brawler, and he's going to be fighting for Dragon House at 170 against Mauricio Alonso. So those are the ones that I got. That's pretty much all I got out here for you.
All righty, well, Jonathan, thanks so much. Now I want to hear your opinion on the whole Chael Sonnen and John Jones. What's your opinion? What are people saying over there in the West Coast?
Oh gosh. Well, to be honest with you, my opinion is this, and I actually am trying to get in touch with one of my contacts at Fox. I tend to think that this fight is a fight that was made by a corporation and not by fight fans, a ranking system, or even by the UFC. In my personal opinion, I think that ever since Chael Sonnen hosted the first FX fight on FX Network, that Fox has fallen in love with him. Dana has said that they want to offer him a deal. I'm pretty sure that this is a ratings test for Chael Sonnen to see if he can get ratings. Now that the tough ratings are in the toilet, I think this is to see if Chael Sonnen can be that guy, if he can be that kind of guy on TV that can pull in ratings. We've already seen him in commercials for Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so we know he has a development deal with the company. I just don't understand how a fighter who's never had a fight at 205, gets a title shot. Why do we have rankings? In my eyes, I think Hua, I think Machida, and of course Henderson all have a claim to the title shot before them. But I'm also catching some heat for saying the young guns like Glover Teixeira and Alexander Gustafsson. A lot of people are saying they haven't done as much in the sport as Chael Sonnen has, but they've done it at the 205 division, it's a toss-up. Do I think Chael Sonnen actually has a chance against John Jones? Absolutely not. No way. There's no way he's beating him. And I guess that's pretty much it. It's obviously a fight that was made by a corporation for ratings purposes. I don't necessarily agree with it, and that's pretty much what I'm hearing out here, so... What do you guys feel about it?
We spoke about it earlier, Camilo and I, and, personally, I want to see it, I was just reading a headline right now that said John Jones' fight against Chael Sonnen will be the fight that will put Sonnen into irrelevance. If John Jones beats him,
If he doesn't at least have a five-round performance like he did against Anderson Silva, where he came up short in the last few minutes, there's no way that this can do anything for Chael Sonnen's career. Because it's going to immediately prove that he's ineffective at that weight class. And then what's he going to do? Is he going to go back down to 185 and not have a shot there? Chael said that he's all about getting titles. That's what his career is about. He said that over and over and over again. Titles, titles, titles. Well, your first shot at 205, you're going to prove to the world that you're not a title contender at 205. So, I mean, I can't see him doing anything. John Jones had better wrestling defense than Anderson Silva does. So I don't understand how he's going to be able to impose his will on John Jones, who's a more decorated wrestler than even Chael Sonnen is. So it's a tough call, but who knows? Maybe, you know, in the fight game, anybody can win at any time, so you never know.
That's right. Well, Jonathan, thanks so very much, man, and we look forward to hearing from you next week. Jonathan King of the Clinch Report, the West Side Report. Thanks so much, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, guys. You take care, okay?
Thank you, sir. All right, Camilo, with that being said, you know, I want to finish off the show tonight, Camilo, by reading this stuff. You know, in the world of MMA, there's always some crazy news.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard about the whole promotion that had the motorcycles fighting over a cage, you know, the whole,
yeah. What
is it, like a group fight and stuff like that, you know, like five guys fighting on at once. Well, get this, man. From what I'm understanding, it seems like it's going to be like a tag team MMA fight. So
It's actually
two
fights. Yeah.
Two against two. Now, but is this... Okay, and this is what I'm referring to. The WEC vet plans two-on-two MMA fight for upcoming Desert Rage event. Chance Farah grew up in the... he grew up with a bunch of fighters, brothers. And so he's found a way to make MMA more exciting, he says. And this all started because they were practicing in the gym. And this show is scheduled to take place October 20th at Paradise Casino in Arizona. So get this, how it's going to work is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Camilo, is this kind of like a feel like a tag team in pro wrestling? Because from what I understand, if one guy is down, there's a minute rest period, so one guy could leave, so it's going to be 2-on-1? So is it like a team? Like a 2-on-2?
Man, you know, I saw this, and what was it, the event is called Desert Rage 11, it's going to be in Arizona, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And I read this, and I was like, what the heck is this? I mean, first of all, I don't know. I don't know if it's good or bad. It can't possibly be good. Regardless, I want to see this. But it's like reading, I guess, the description, it's you're going to have four people fighting at the same time. So one ref is going to be in there trying to, I guess, control all the chaos. It's going to be crazy. And if, let's say, me and you are on a team, right? If you get submitted, apparently, you know, there's going to be a timeout or just to see if you can continue or not. If you can't continue, I guess, you know, I would have to forfeit because you can't, you know, one guy can't fight two people. I'm still not sure on all the rules, but what I did saw was that there's not a limit of rounds. So if we survive and the other team is surviving, we can be the whole night fighting. There's no like limits or rounds. And the weight classes, it's crazy because it's not that, like, for example, you have to weigh 150 pounds, I have to weigh 150 pounds. No, it's a combined weight of, for example, 400 and something pounds. So I can weigh 50 pounds and you can weigh 320 pounds or something like that.
Wow.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird, but at the same time, it's interesting, and I'm curious to see how this plays.
Well, according to this article, how it's going to work is it's going to be under the unified rules of MMA with the exception of no elbows and knees allowed. Two referees will corral a foursome in a 30-foot cage. Things get even more interesting. Here it is, when a combatant is stopped by strike, submission, or referee stoppage. According to the promoter, a woman in rest is called to give officials time to remove the eliminated fighter, and the round then resumes. The fight ends, obviously, when one side loses both fighters. If an eliminated fighter is unable to leave the cage within the one-minute period, the other side wins by forfeit. Rounds will be 5 minutes each, with a one-minute rest period between each round, as with standard pro MMA bouts.
Now, there will be no limit to how many rounds a fight can go. So it also states here, and as you mentioned, that, you know, weight class just pretty much doesn't matter. So in theory, you could be fighting a 125-pounder versus a 300-pounder. Interesting stuff happening at the in that company.
It's crazy. I don't think this is going to be, you know, something that's going to be too successful. But at the same time, it's one of those things that you just have to watch, because it's a crazy concept. I like the fact that they're trying to make it somewhat safe, but it's just crazy.
Absolutely. Well, Camilo, our final thought for the evening, sir.
No, man, you know, like as always, you guys can catch us at eloctagono.com. This Sunday, we're going to have some special guests. That includes Daniel Strauss, who's going to be fighting in Bellator 78. We're also going to have Patrick Regalado, who is the owner of The Cage magazine down here in South Florida. They're going to be launching the magazine the 1st of November. And we're going to have Mike Bruno against Wagner Rocha. We're going to be fighting in the main event of Fight Time 12. So we'll get to talk to those two guys as well. And, you know, obviously, my partners, Andrea Calle and Randall Villafaña, will be with me.
Now, on the 28th, I'll be making a little appearance on El Octavano.
I'll be
out there. I think we're going to be competing. What are we going to be doing? Push-ups, squats, finger push-ups? What are we going to be doing?
You know what? I honestly don't know yet. We have to come up with some things. I know, you know, Randall wants to challenge you with the Rock'em Sock'em robots.
Well, we did that already. Although I want a rematch, because there was an incident that happened. One of the Rock'em Sock'em, the button, I got stuck, and the referee wasn't paying attention. So I definitely request a recall. It was just it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
I didn't win fair and square.
And aside from that, you know, we'll have some guests too. I think we'll probably be talking to Jorge Masvidal, who's supposed to be fighting in the Strikeforce card. Not sure. You know, we're gonna talk to him, catch up, see what's going on with that. And we might have Harold Morales, who is a CEO for S1 Challenge. They're gonna be holding an event down here in South Florida at the AAA Arena, I believe, and it's gonna be. It's not an MMA event.
Striking.
But it's gonna have striking, stand-up fight.
Yeah. So what I understand, that's interesting you post that, because like, you know, one of the gentlemen was emailed me today. But what I understand is just striking. That's all it is. You can't take it to the ground. But you can throw elbows and anything you want. You just can't take it to the ground.
We're going to have an opportunity to talk to him, get all the details. It's going to be in February, though, 2013.
Yeah.
But they already started promoting it and doing, you know, media stuff. So we'll be able to talk to him as well.
Great, interesting stuff. And, wow, the American Airlines Arena. I only can recall one MMA event that took place there, and that was the debut of Bobby Lashley. Also, Jeff Munson and Rico Rodriguez went at it in that building, but I can't remember of another MMA fight taking place
in
that building.
It was Strikeforce, I believe.
No, it was MFA. It was MFA. It was MFA. Bobby Lashley and, like I said, Jeff Munson. Strikeforce took place at the, what do they call now, BB&T Arena, or we used to call Bank Atlantic Center, whatever it's called. It has like 100 names. That's the... Oh, and G-Force had an event at an American Airlines Arena, too. G-Force, which was owned by Glenn Rice. Oh, cool stuff. MMA in Miami. Well, with that said, Camilo, it was a pleasure. Great show tonight. And we're going to be having next week some more fighters out of the World Series of Fighting. Event coming up on November 3rd, and a surprise guest. We should be having him next week. We'll let you on the details via Twitter at RomanDH. And also, we'll have a CFA fighter who competed out there. Again, we'll let you know as far as the guest. And follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, hashtag Roman Show,
you missed the show tonight, don't worry about it. RodolphRoman.com. You can see the entire thing. And you guys who want a pair of tickets to the circus tomorrow, we'll see you tomorrow night. We'll be out there. You like circus, Camille?
Yeah, I don't like clowns. I don't know why. It's not that they're scary. They just make me uncomfortable.
Man, well, this time around they don't got clowns. They got vampires. You scared of vampires?
No, I'm fine with them.
You're cool with them? Well, they're gonna be out there tomorrow night, starting at 8 p.m. They got the Vampire Circus in Bayfront Park in Miami. If you're in Miami, and it runs all the way through the 31st of October. And you can check out the Vampire Circus USA to get your tickets start at $20. Can't go wrong with that. It's a good, fun family entertainment. With that said, man, good night, Camilo. Thanks for joining me. And we'll catch you here next Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. on The Roman Show. With that said, good night. Hang tight and enjoy MMA this weekend. There will be some. Just make sure you look it up there. Good night, guys.